Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week three of the Rhythm series, Finding Rest for Your Soul. My name's Vince and I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks for taking the time to connect with us over the service, and I wanted to kind of give some ideas, lay out some thoughts on where rhythms and your work intermingle. I hope you had an amazing Valentine's Day. It was a fantastic one. I'm a particular fan of those they look like Tums. Ironically, they taste like Tums, and they have a little love sayings on them. Those make me happy. Tropical flavor, drywall, taste so delicious. The flavor of chalk in your mouth, oh, it just reminds me of the season of love. Fantastic. I hope you had a great time as well. I was working through some post-Valentine follow-up and saw some amazing pickup lines that if you need these for next year, please jot them down. That's a great looking outfit, is it? Yeah, I feel it's made of wife material, which is fantastic, I think. It's a great line. Maybe you could work that one out. I would insert husband material if you're a lady. How about this? You may not like raisins, but how do you feel about a date? Whatever you pick, it's important to get yourself out there and try different things and enjoy your life. And it's going to be a theme that I keep hitting back on this morning as we talk about finding rest often requires you to find a place of happiness, a place of a joy, a place of peace, and rest follows when you do some of these right things in the right ways. So it's not enough to, you know, I heard the analogy this way about if you were concerned about the temperature inside your car, you have two things that you have to follow. One would be that you need to turn up the heat in order to have a heat flow coming in. And the second would be that you also have to shut your windows. So there's a couple things going on that we want to talk about in terms of work, finding joy, finding peace, love, inside of the things that you do with your life. Now, before we get too deep into it, I want to show you a lovely picture here. This is my wife and I, we are at Trevi Fountain in Rome. Now, Rome is a beautiful place, and it's filled with these magnificent squares, these places where community would gather, and there'd often be a fountain with some like majestic statue or some fantastic carving that was plunked right in the middle of it. And as we talked to our guide, and they would say, like, so much of the life would revolve around these fountains, because people would come out for water and you'd converse and you'd connect with people. And water as like a base form, as a base need of life, was a valuable thing. And Rome, of course, is known for its aqueducts, and it's known for Italian people that put their hands like this and say bippity-boppity. It's known for a lot of things. The overwhelming portion of the Earth's population revolves around places where there's water and water management and springs and wells and flowing rivers, and water as one of those basic needs becomes super paramount. I was looking through, a popular psychologist, Abraham Maslow. He said it this way, that there is these varying levels of needs, one of which at the base level, you would find water, food, and nestled in with that, safety, security. But the other one that he's roped in as a baseline need of humanity is rest. That would be a physiological need. There's also psychological needs in terms of, you know, relationships and connections in life and finding things that give meaning and purpose. And then there's even higher levels than that as to, like, the why I'm here, achieving your full potential is how he would describe it. Now, as a baseline thing, water, tied right beside it, is rest. And how do you find rest in life? How do you come to a place where, because work is a tricky one. You see, work hits at all of these levels. You need having a job to pay for this food, having a job to make sure that you have access to this water, that you have shelter, that you can get rest. A job is a valuable asset to that. But then sometimes it's this next level as well, where perhaps your base needs are all covered. And then there's like, what about satisfaction? Finding something that brings you some like a sense of accomplishment, something that helps bring ability to take care of family, helps you take care of a relationship. So work can also function on that level. And then there are those who work functions in like a huge level, and they believe it's like this is their part of their full purpose in life is making money. And I actually think it's possible that there are folks who do well and excel financially, and they bless people and bless the kingdom, and they use their resources. So it can tack on all sorts of these levels. And so it's not to diminish anyone, but it's to say that work interplays with the base needs of life all the way up into like, I felt good about accomplishing that. Now, I can respect this morning. I'm speaking to students. I'm speaking to retirees, the workforce, and everyone in between. So gather what you will out of the value of finding what work would mean to you in your particular scenario and finding rest for that work. You see, when they built an ancient cities often had a protected water source. You would have a protected area within the side, whether it was some sort of well or some sort of spring or some place you had to protect your base building needs, your base building resources, and you had to manage that well, that water. And it applies the same to your rest, that it's something that needs to be guarded, protected, built around. It's not a it's not a supercalifragilist, it's not a Superman, it's not a, you know what I'm saying. It's important. Now, what would Porky Pig say? He'd probably say something like I just said. But in the meantime, I wouldn't have my well outside of the city walls where I couldn't protect it and the city was placed under siege and I couldn't get a vital resource. I would build a city around that water supply. I would build it around my base needs of rest, of water, of food, of security. And the Lord has some interesting things to say about where we sit with work and rest. Some fantastic scriptures. Let me read to you from Colossians 3, 23, 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Wow. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Proverbs 12:24. The Lord acknowledges and validates and appreciates hard work. There's a trend that's moving its way around social media right now. It's called Bare Minimum Monday. Hashtag Bare Minimum Monday. And it's a one of these soft quit, one of these ways of just, sticking it to the man. Whatever. The Lord is into your working hard, but he's also into you taking care of yourself with rest. And that takes on different forms and looks different ways for people. Now, I've got to speak to you about things in these two veins. Within that car, how to turn up the heat, how to close the windows. You have to do two things simultaneous. You have to make sure that your personal well is full or filling, and you have to make sure that the devices that you draw aren't filled with holes. You have to fill inflow and outflow properly, or the thing gets messed up. Now, it's critical to kind of think about it in those terms. What am I doing to fill? Now, there's a couple sides of filling. I'm going to talk about, you know, there's a quick, you know, a carnal one. The Lord talks pretty well about, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy this life. I just put together, you know, a couple shots here. Things that you can do to enjoy life. Now, you can go for a walk. You can go grab ice cream with a friend. This is a night on the town, off to a comedy store, and just grabbing some ice cream with a buddy. Something that fills you. What is enjoyment, and what does that do to your rest? Now, I'm not talking about avoidance. I'll get into that in a second. This is me and my daughter, Emma. We were downtown going to see Fiddler on the Roof, enjoying a fantastic time. By the way, she is single, 19. If you are a young man, you can send applications to date her to vince@calvary.ca, and I will respond to you. Please send pictures of your family cabin and or speedboat. Thank you. This next, something that I, once a month, I get together with buddies. My friend Bruce Chan hosts a thing at him and Benita's house where we watch UFC, watch people get in and beat each other up, and we eat chicken wings, and sometimes we have pizza, sometimes we're having steaks, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my steak, and I'm watching UFC, and it's just a little once-a-month thing, blow off some steam, have some laughs. Little ways that I just find just rejuvenate. I love those hangout times because they refill, they refresh, they replenish. You know, some people have an emotional support animal. My emotional support animal is a chicken that's been deep fried with gravy. You got to find a way to, like, take care of yourself, and one of those base things is finding the right kinds of rest, the right kinds, filling yourself back up. I go to two churches. I attend Calvary Church, and I also go to Church's Chicken. Two places I just love, and somehow the Lord just meets me there, and whoa. I feel refreshed. You got to find a way to get yourself filled. This is me and my buddy James. We went camping over here by the church. You can see in this picture, just in the background, that's the number one freeway, and we're camping out in the median. You got to find ways to just, enjoy yourself. We're here for a blip. And what is the Lord saying that you have come, that he came, that you would have life and abundant life? Enjoy yourself. But there's another side of that where sometimes these, you know, these goofy things that I'm talking about with life become avoidance. Because real filling, refilling of your well is not avoidance. These things that I'm talking about, they're great. Enjoy them. Have fun. But also, true refreshment comes from the hand of the Lord. It's not something as simple as eating some chicken wings. It's great in the moment. It's good. But if you want deep, if you want spiritual food, you got to come to Jesus to find that. Described it this way in John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The rest that the Lord gives within your work, while you toil, while you pursue, while you achieve, you have to draw on Jesus to find true refreshment. Getting out and having some fun, I am the king of such things. Love to do that. But the truthful part of being refilled from the inside out, your devotions, you're coming to Jesus. He says it this way. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. You have to make sure there's inflow into your well in order for you to find that true, true refreshment. Now, I appreciate that we have to do things at scale. I love hearing stories. One of the church speakers, Dr. Peter Legge, he shares, and his stories are so wild and at a scale that is above and beyond. So, you know, I didn't ask, but I'll ask. I'll be like, Peter, we're like, what'd you do for Valentine's? And he'd be like, oh, I took Kay to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and I had the Titanic raised from the bottom of the ocean, and I put her on front, and she said, I'm flying, Peter. And then we took a hover jet back to, I was like, you did what? His stories are always so big and elaborate. It's like, Vince, what'd you do with Valentine's? Like, we went for a walk. We actually had family fondue, so it was a good Valentine's. But you know what I'm saying? You gotta work to rejuvenate at your scale. But one thing that is universal, whether it's going for a walk or having chicken wings, everybody has equal access to the Lord Jesus to find true refreshment. Now, work and society are a funny thing. Now, I think of recent movies like The Joker. Joaquin Phoenix playing The Joker from the Batman franchise. Now, in 1989, when they made a movie about The Joker, you know, they had to make him fall into a vat of chemicals to make him go nuts. Do you know what they had to do to 2019 Joker to make him go nuts? You had to give him a crappy job and just leave him in society. And that took care of him going a little mental. Now, the drastic difference is that there's pressures in a workplace. There's pressures in society. And sometimes those things get to tipping. I told my therapist, I'm deathly afraid of the Backstreet Boys. And he said, tell me why. And I felt like it was insensitive at the moment, but I knew where he was going. The why is you need to plug all of the holes that you're drawing from your well from. You have to plug some of these holes. It's not enough to have the water in when you're lifting out the water, when you're making withdrawals from the deep wells. What you're drawing from can't be just hole-laden, dear Liza. It's imperative that those holes get plug too, or the peace, the joy, it just drains away. In order for you to have rest, you got to work on that bucket. Plugging some holes. Here's a question for you non-remote work people. When there's a snow day and your kids get to stay home, why don't they cancel your work? Now with remote things they do, but a lot of places, like, you just got to come. You just got to go to work. Because work just keeps going. They don't always care if you die on the side of the road. Of course they would care, but they don't care. It's like there's going to be someone after you in work. And there is a level, and this particularly affects dudes. For some reason, women are more centered this way with the value of relationship and family. And we can get pulled into this place as men where it's just like, and ladies, okay. Where we can get pulled into this place that work is so important that it's not going to survive without you. Everything's so important, it just can't live without you. I would tell you a quick list of jobs I've had. I used to pressure wash apartment buildings before places got painted. When I stopped doing that, the business kept going. Okay. I used to work for Golden West Bakery, making McDonald's buns that you would enjoy. I think McDonald's buns are still being made, regardless that I haven't worked there in 30 years. It doesn't matter. I used to work for Pepsi Cola. I managed in a warehouse. It was a fantastic job, put me through school. And when opportunity came to switch out from that job, Pepsi still kept going. And it turned out that I wasn't as necessary as I thought. I used to work as a lunch supervisor for school District 36. And when I stopped doing that, it was just a little part-time gig. little side hustle. Apparently, lunches still happened without me. I don't know how they did it, but apparently that still happened. I used to co-own a vending machine company that still is in operation, even though I'm not. I have a little few hour a month job. I work at a game store at Surrey Central Mall. Something I still enjoy, just to blow off a little steam. Just a few hours a month. And apparently when I'm not there, the store still sells games. I've been a pastor here for 32 years. I've had pastors before me, and there will be pastors after me when the day comes that I retire or I get fired for saying something stupid. Whatever comes first, when that happens, it'll just keep on moving. And I tell you that to kind of emphasize that stuff keeps going. The stuff that has value and is refreshing, the connections, the relationships, the family. I remember when I started work, you think more of work like Dolly Parton singing 9 to 5. Stumble out of bed and tumble to the kitchen. And you're just like, you know, you got a little zippity-doo-dah. And then a little later in life, you start more like singing The Cat's in the Cradle. And you're like, what am I doing? Like, my family is at home. Different phases of life depending on where you're at. And all that's fine. It's just recognizing that these places, well, they love you. I have a great boss, loves me. But this will end one day, and yours will end one day. And it's okay, because you are prioritizing things of value that fill you, that give you rest, and plug the holes so that you're not leaking out rest and draining peace and joy all over the place. It's fantastically written by Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2. This cracks me up. Ecclesiastes 2, 17 to 23, verse 17. So, I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. His tank is empty. It just screams it. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether this person will be wise or an idiot. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. It's meaningless. So my heart began to despair for all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, skill, and they must leave all they own to another person who has not toiled for it. This, too, is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving? What do you get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their mind finds no rest. It's all meaningless. Now, that just cracks me up, because he's done. He's like, put a fork in me. It's over. Like, why? What am I doing? Work has eaten him, and he has not been refilled. He tried to find fulfillment in relationships. Hundreds of concubines. He tried to pursue. It's like, this is all stupid. It's not fulfilling. The living water, the living well of Jesus Christ is your escape hatch. It's your way out. It's your way of being filled again with something that truly satisfies, if you'll dip your bucket in for it. Jesus invites you to come. Don't let your point get to that of Solomon. I got 3 quick tips to help you fill the holes in your bucket. Number one, don't give your drained days to your family. Working folks out there. I learned this at a minister's conference, and Sunday for me is game day. It's like, it's the big day. It's my weekly Super Bowl. It's my important day. It's the big one. We have stuff that goes on through the week, valuable, but Sunday is like, it's a big deal. So the encouragement from the conference, and the guy's like, if Sunday wrecked you, make sure you give Monday back to the church. And most ministers take Monday off because they're just, you know, feeling like, that was a lot, I need to rest. It's like, so you're telling me something wrecked you, and then you gave your refreshing day, your burned out day, to your family. And so that just struck me, and I never looked back since. You work Mondays, for me, for that's how things work for me. But it'd be different for you, but the principle is the same. Don't give your drained days to your family. Second one, plan rest from work. Now, I'm required to, I plan, and my wife is required to at her workplace, to plan holidays a year in advance. Like, what? I couldn't do that. Sure you can. It's actually a real stretch, but it gets you thinking about what's next, thinking about, and so there's some holiday time, but also, I do this like down weekly. Plan for your Sabbath. Plan for your time off to be refreshed. What things fill your tank? You need to jump in a kayak and get into Burnaby Lake with a loved one and just go for a kayak. You need to go for a walk and a coffee. What's going to fill you so that when work comes, you've got something to give? You can give hard work, which the Lord is after. But you also have to rest hard if you're going to work hard. Daily rest. Sleeping well. Trying to go to bed at a reasonable hour. I actually do that pretty good. It's something that keeps getting easier and easier. Weekly rest, daily rest, annual rest. Things that build and fill you so when you come back, woo, you're feeling it. You're on top of it. You're in your zone, in your game, ready to give. Because you can't draw water out of the well to even give to somebody when you don't have any left inside your well. You can't give water out when your bucket is full of holes. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. You are a crucial part of his ministry to this world. You have to have water in your bucket, rest in your soul, and you can't be leaking it all over the place because your bucket's messed up. He needs you. It's worth pursuing. And finally, and I'll overall close with this. It's possible that your cell phone is not helping you. It's actually a prison to you. Now, everyone is different, and I appreciate that. I'm talking to whoever this might apply to. I say it, I confess in and of myself. It's one of those danger points. So years back, I dumped off. No social media on my phone. I don't synchronize email to my phone. What else is within there? I eliminated all my games but one. And then one of my New Year's pledges was to get rid of that one too. But I still, like, things like, oh man, I'm going to find, what's in the news? What's happening? Oh, the podcast. Okay, what's in the calendar? Okay, what's new? YouTube. And so I have a problem with that. And so I've gone to even extremes, and I do this on occasion. I brought it with me today. And you're going to, like, I'm not joking about this. It might make no sense to you, but for those of you who are messed up like I am in this area, this is a cell phone prison. It has a padlock, and it's a cage with an opening door. And I take this when in those times, and I know that rest is leaking out of my cell phone, that I lock my phone away. I can still leave it plugged in. I can still access it. I can even touch the screen with it. But you don't get back to messages as quick. And you don't, oh, this thing's stupid. You can't watch video. It's terrible. And that's all it needs. A few days of my phone in the cage, and I'm free again. It's bizarre. So I've gone to extreme lengths to find rest. There are literally thousands of people who have my cell phone number, and I'm glad for. So I set my cell phone to do autoresponders during my times off. People will get, hey, I got your autoresponder. It's Vince's offer for this weekend or whatever. I'll get back to you on such and such a day. Unless you were on fire, in which case I would call 911. That's just how that's going to go. So I find ways to protect myself and give myself rest so that when it comes time, I can give back. And so it might be different for you. Don't give your drain days to your family. Plan rest from your work. Consider your cell phone, whether it's helping you or hurting you. You know, there's an actual phrase now. It's called nomophobia, which is the fear of being without your phone, your cell phone. It's hit the list. There's things like low battery anxiety is like a medical condition. Low battery anxiety. I've got low battery anxiety. Yes, my personal thing is that isn't helping me. Maybe for you, maybe that's for you too, that it's not helping you. And the final part of that cell phone thing is this new phrase. You can check it out in the Cambridge Dictionary. It's called fubbing. P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. It's a word, fubbing. It's phone snubbing. And you'll know people that are in a place where, like, yeah, hey, how's it going? And they're just bippity-boppity, and they're just doing their thing. Yeah. That's cool. It's good. And you're like, am I even important to you? Your kids see that. My kids see that. Your spouse sees that. Your friends see that. It's fubbing. And so it's like, are you fubbing kidding me? What's going on right now? Oh, man. That fubbed me the wrong way when you pull out and you're trying to engage with somebody and they're in the middle of their phone. Once your eyes open to it, it'll start to look weird. So whoever that's for, God bless you. The final encouragement, friends, and I close in this 30 seconds. There is a better way. Manage your well. Manage your incoming water. Manage your outgoing water. Manage your incoming rest. Manage your outgoing rest. Work is valuable. Work hard. But use rest and keep these things in the right rhythm. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for my friends today. Lord, fill them to overflowing. Whatever rest they need and rest in whatever ways, Lord, give them that drive, that enthusiasm to pursue rest with the same veracity as if they were in the desert looking for water. It's that important of a need. Lord, help put it upon our minds those times where we are draining away when we think we are replenishing. Lord, for each of my friends, fill them full. Jesus, give fresh dreams, fresh visions. Lord, we want to step more and more to your likeness, and we thank you for the growth in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.